Hello, Hope Singapore. Thank you for joining us today on Church Online. Whether you're joining us on a Saturday, a Sunday, or a Monday, whether it's morning, afternoon, or evening, we are so glad that you could join us today. And you know, in Singapore here, over the last week or so, there's been tightening measures as a result of increased community cases. And so when we used to gather either in homes or when we used to gather in the church setting in 250 or 100, right now, church is fully online. And we've had to pivot rather quickly because the news was given to us on a Friday and we had to pivot for last weekend and we had to change not just our weekend services but also for Hope Conference, because Hope Conference is happening next week. And because of the way that we plan to do Hope Conference, we plan to go to each other's homes and meet together and experience conference together, we've had to pivot in the way that we're going to go about Hope Conference this year. And those of you who have been in our church for some time, you would remember that Hope Conference is a time where we gather together as an entire church family. We'll worship together in a big venue like the Singapore Indoor Stadium. We've been in the Indoor Stadium since 2011. And we've been, you know, that's like 10 years already. And we get our global daughter churches to come over and we just have one big massive spiritual family gathering where we hear from God, and many people have testimonies about how God spoke to them, how they encountered signs and wonders in the conference, how they made big decisions to follow God wholeheartedly through the conference. And so this year, conference will take place rather differently. If you can show the picture, how it was or how it started, and then now how it's going. Hope Conference this year will take place in front of a screen, either in your living room or in your bedroom or wherever you may be watching it from, through a tablet screen, through a computer screen or a television. And it's going to feel a bit different. And I don't know about you, but I know some people who are rather disappointed at Hope Conference being in this form this year, because maybe they were looking forward to a gathering and maybe they may not expect to have a large indoor stadium-like gathering, but maybe they were hoping, you were hoping to gather in homes in groups of five or in groups of eight, and then we could enjoy God's presence together, pray over one another and glean from His Word. But this year, it seems like with the tightening measures, we may not be able to do that. And maybe some of us are feeling a little bit disappointed or wondering how things will be. And I just want to share with you an assurance that God has placed on my heart, and I hope to impress this upon you as well, that despite it being tightened and us having to watch it from home without being able to gather, I have this assurance and confidence that God will still move. And I'm not sure how, and I'm not sure where, but I just sense that God wants us to put aside our previous experience of church online. Maybe we expect it to happen the same way that we've been doing it every weekend, the same experience as weekly church online. But I sense that God wants to show you that He can move beyond your experience. He can move beyond your expectation even, that God can surprise you. And so today I love to share with you a message that God has placed upon my heart, and I hope that it will help you, not just in preparation for the conference, but also for your life. The message that God has placed on my heart today is entitled, Make Room for God, from the passage in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And if you're taking notes for today, either on your laptop, your tablet, your smartphone, or the good old-fashioned pen and paper, where you can write down this title, Make Room for God, from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And the scene of this passage takes place in the home of a pair of sisters called Martha and Mary. And I'm going to read out these five verses for you. You can follow me along on the screen, or you can follow me along on your hard copy Bibles or your soft copy Bibles. And I love for the Word of God to just be revealed to you this day. As Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, Lord, don't You care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, and indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And this might be a familiar passage to some of us. You may have read this passage before and walked away with the idea that what Martha did was wrong, therefore Jesus corrected her, and what Mary did was right, therefore Jesus affirmed and commended her. Well, I want to let you know that if that's the conclusion that you have arrived after reading this passage, that perhaps we want to examine this scripture a little bit more and see, really, is that the point that Jesus is trying to teach Mary and Martha, or could there be another lesson that is so precious for us? And I pray that as God's word is being expounded right now, that you will begin to realign your understanding of this passage and of what God wants for your life. The first thing that we can unpack from today's scriptures, the first thing that we can understand from God's word today is, number one, make room without self-focus. And we can learn this from verses 38, 40, and 41. You may be wondering, where's that self-focus theme in this passage? Well, write it down by faith, even if you cannot really see it yet. Just write down this first point. Make room without self-focus, from verses 38, 40, and 41. The first thing we can see from this passage is in verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Martha literally made room for Jesus. She literally opened her home for him and welcome him. She made room for him. And the author is presenting Martha's hospitality in a positive light. Contrary to popular belief, when we read this passage, Jesus was not rebuking Martha for her service or for her hospitality. He was not rebuking Martha for being busy with the preparations. You see, some people look at this passage, Martha and Mary, and they think that it's a picture of works versus grace. But it's not. They think that it's a picture of service versus devotion. But it's not. Because if you just look earlier in the same chapter, in Luke chapter 10, you would realize that Jesus told a parable about this man who was robbed, beaten, and left for dead on the roadside. And then a religious man who represents devotion and represents religiosity and represents relationship with God, if anything, comes here, walks, sees the man, and then walks past without helping. And then a Levite, someone who's set apart to serve the Lord, sees the man, goes over to the other side of the road, walks past without helping him. Then, in the story that Jesus told, a Samaritan from a despised race that the Jews don't even want to acknowledge sees the man, goes there and bandages up his wounds, puts the injured man on his own donkey, and he had to walk, and then brought him to the nearest inn and paid the innkeeper with his own money to take care of the man so that he can rehabilitate in the inn. And then Jesus asked the crowd, who do you think was a neighbor to this man? And the Jews, the crowd that was watching this, they had to acknowledge that the one who loved in action was the one who was a good neighbor. So I want to let you know, in case you get the wrong idea, that Jesus in this passage is not against the service that was provided for him by Martha. Because clearly, in the whole Gospel of Luke and in the rest of the Bible, Luke affirms service with action in a positive light. He highlights the importance of this. One of the examples is in Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, a dispute was arising among the disciples, and they were arguing who is considered to be the greatest. And then Jesus said to them, the king of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors, but you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater? The one who is at a table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table, but I am, and this is using his own example, I am among you as one who serves. So not just here in this passage, but throughout the Gospel of Luke, throughout the Bible, service in action is clearly valued. Service in action is clearly important in the eyes of God, and it would be inconsistent of Jesus if he was to rebuke Martha for her service. As Hope Conference begins to approach, just like Martha, many of us have preparations, important preparations that we need to make room for God. Some of you that you are watching this from home, you may need to get a Zoom account or prepare something online so that you can host people, host your live group. You can show the next slide, please, if you can. Some of you may need to make sure and ensure that the environment is conducive, your Wi-Fi is set up, you have a place where you can sit, where you can stand and worship. You may need to download the material beforehand, make sure that you're on top of things, prepare yourself for the program, you know what time, what is happening. Some of you that you're leading live group discussions, you may need to prepare with some of the material. Some of us may need to prepare for care and for our kids, either bringing them to their grandparents' place or ensuring that they're able to take turns between the parents to watch over the kids. Some of us may need to prepare the meals in between the sessions. There's a lot of preparation that needs to be made for Hope Conference to make room for God. And all these are important preparations, because without these things, we will not be able to receive as much from conference. And over the last few days and weeks, we've had to pivot, and maybe many of the staff, many of the volunteers, they've been working through round the clock to make sure that the program is being prepared. We abide by the new safe distancing guidelines. We send out all the conference packs that some of you have already received, the kids packs, and to give out information in a timely manner, because many people have questions on that. So these are all good things. And these are all important things, because without doing these things, we may not be able to receive as much as we can from conference. So you can see that these are important, and Jesus will not rebuke us for doing these preparations. So then, if what Martha was doing, being busy with the preparations to make room for Jesus, was good, then why was she rebuked by Jesus? Why was she corrected by Jesus, right? Jang, jang, jang. Here's the plot twist, and it happens in verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made, and she came to him and asked. We begin to see in this one verse where it all goes wrong. The first hint of what Martha didn't do right is in the first part of verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She was distracted. There were many things to be done, and all these things were important things, but all these things distracted her. She became worried, she became anxious, she became overly busy, she was flustered, as you can tell, and most of all, she was distracted from what was truly important. And the next sentence gives you a hint of what she was focused on. Let's look at the next sentence, second part of verse 40. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Now, just stare at this sentence for a while. We'll put it on the screen. Just stare at this sentence for a while. What sticks out to you? What word keeps appearing again and again? This word, me, myself, me. Martha was overly focused on her own service to the Lord, and she was so focused on what she was doing and what she was giving that she began becoming upset at her sister Mary, because in comparison to what Martha was doing a lot, and her younger sister Mary, how lazy, how unhelpful she seemed to Martha, because she was just sitting there. Can't you help me? And then she approached Jesus asking a question that is not really a question. She asked Jesus, don't you care? that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself. Don't you care? She asked Jesus a question that she already insinuated the answer to. And then she gave Jesus an instruction. Tell her to come and help me. In Martha's service to the Lord, she knew that she was serving a rabbi. She knew that she was serving a teacher that she even called Lord. But yet, in this one sentence that she let out, she betrayed all her focus. That her focus was not on Jesus and in her service to Him. Her focus, Martha's focus, was on herself. And her self-focus. And she was saying things like, "Don't you care that I'm working so hard? Don't you care? Don't you even notice? Don't you even know what I'm going through? And if you know and you don't do anything about it, why? If you really notice all these preparations that I've had to make and this lazy sister of mine just sitting there, if you notice, why aren't you doing anything about it? Do something about it." And she even had the audacity to tell the rabbi, "Tell her to help me. Come on, do something about it. God, Jesus, if you notice, do something about it." And through her plea, we begin to see her superiority complex that she had towards her sister. That she was serving, she was busy, she was doing all these important things, and all she viewed her sister was lazy and unhelpful. And I want to let you know, friends, that sometimes when we serve the Lord, it is not difficult to fall into this trap. This trap of self-focus and comparison. Sometimes we get so busy in serving, not just for the conference, but for anything that we serve the Lord in, whatever ministry that we're in, and we work hard. And God is not against working hard. And we're busy. And God is not against being busy to serve Him. But out of that hard work and busyness and all those hours that are put in, we subconsciously value our serving over our Lord, the one whom we are serving. We get upset when others around us seem to be lazy, seem to not serve as hard as us, seem not to put in the miles that we put in. We think to ourselves that, "God, don't you notice how much I poured into this? Don't you even know? Don't you even care?" Just like the words that came out from Martha's mouth. "Don't you care?" And we begin questioning God's love for us. "Don't you see how hard I'm working? Why is this happening and no one is helping me?" And we're so overly consumed by others' actions or inactions that we forget who it is that we're serving. And I want to remind us today that when we serve, we're serving the Lord. This is our portion. Whatever the Lord has entrusted to you, be faithful with it. But don't go comparing your portion to someone else's. Don't go focusing on the thing that you need to do that the Lord has entrusted to you that is good and forget who it is that entrusted it to you in the first place. Don't be so focused on the service to the Lord that you forget the Lord that you are serving. And sometimes, friends, we get caught up in this, and it's not difficult for anybody, pastors, leaders, staff, volunteers, it's not difficult for any of us to fall into this trap and value the serving over the Lord that we are serving. And remember, friends, that Jesus is not against the serving. In fact, Jesus highlights and affirms many parts in the Bible about the importance of serving in action with our best, with diligence. But the self-focus, the comparison, the complaining, this is what Jesus was addressing about Martha. So Jesus responded, "Martha, Martha." And you may be wondering why He called her name twice. The only time in Singapore where we say "Martha, Martha" is when you're sitting in a coffee shop and you see a traffic warden walk past. And in Singapore, I don't know if you know, but all traffic wardens are called Martha. So then we shout to her, "Martha, Martha," you know. But this was not what Jesus was doing. When Jesus repeats her name, "Martha, Martha," it was a sign of affection for her. Calling her name twice in their culture was an act of endearment. It was not an act of despise or rebuke or scolding. It was an act of endearment. "Martha, Martha." And then He began to teach her he began to correct her with gentleness. And he said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Jesus was not condemning her, but he was correcting her. He was helping her to see where she had placed her self-focus, and he was trying to help her to realign, to redirect her focus away from her own serving and towards the Lord that she is serving. And that leads me to the second point for today. Number two, make room without distractions. From verses 39 and 42. Make room without distractions. From verse 39 and 42. And right now, just like what Jesus was trying to do, we're going to turn the focus of this story away from Martha and onto Mary, the younger sister. In Luke's narration of this story, Mary did not say a single word. She was completely silent in this story. But yet, it was her silent actions. It was the way that she lived rather than the words that she spoke that the Lord Jesus noticed and commended. Luke chapter 10, verse 39 says, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. And I'm going to just share with you a few little parts of what this sentence represents. Luke gives a picture of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. She sat at the Lord's feet listening to his word. And in the Jewish context, when you sit at someone's feet, listening to their teaching, it is a description of being a disciple. Being a disciple of your teacher, of your rabbi. When you sit at their feet, you are their disciple, you are their follower, and you are receiving from their discipleship, from their teaching. And then, when Luke uses this word listening connotates much more than just hearing with our ears. This word gives the sense that Mary was attentively absorbing every word that Jesus was saying. In other parts of his gospel, Luke highlights the importance of hearing God's word, of listening to God's word as a key component in discipleship. He says, disciples are the ones who listen attentively to what the Lord says and put them into practice. And here are some verses that you can refer to on your own just in Luke's gospel alone, chapter 6, chapter 8, and chapter 11. I'm going to give you a little bit of time just to write down these verses, but you don't need to refer to them right now. You can go back on your own time and try to understand this theme. Whenever Luke says, hear or listen, or whenever he records Jesus saying that, it's a key component of discipleship. I'm going to just read out the last verse for you. And it says, Jesus replied, blessed rather are those who hear, look at this word, hear the word of God and obey it. So Luke records Jesus commending Mary for her actions and saying that she was chosen something better and it will not be taken away from her. So what has Mary chosen that is better? What did Mary do that was so correct that Jesus would affirm her and would teach the rest through her example? It was this, that Mary gave undivided attention to God's word. And it seemed like no matter how busy things got in that house, no matter how busy things got in her world, that she chose to block out everything, to block out all the noise and all the distraction, and to sit at the feet of Jesus and give him undivided attention. There was only one thing that was needed, one thing of absolute importance, and that was what Mary did. She sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. You see, what Jesus is trying to tell us here is that service and hospitality, loving in actions, all these things are important, but not as important as listening to Jesus's word. Preparations are important, but they become a stumbling block if they end up distracting us away from listening to God or giving him our undivided attention. And some people think that sitting at Jesus' feet is being lazy or unhelpful or unaware of the situation. But the truth is that giving undivided attention is a choice that we need to make. And this choice requires focus and intentionality. Can we show that verse, please? That giving undivided attention is a choice that requires focus and intentionality. Giving undivided attention doesn't just happen by accident. Because in today's world, there's so many things that cry out for our attention. There's so many notifications that pop up on every single device that we have around us. There's so many people around us that need something from us at any one point in time that giving undivided attention becomes one of the most difficult things to do in this era than any other era. Because a lot of things are crying out for our attention. And so giving God this attention on our part is a choice. And it's not merely because it is our religious duty, because I'm a Christian, I have to do it. But because we love the Lord. Because we value His presence. Because we want to be in close fellowship and communion with the Lord. And that's why we are giving Him our undivided attention. Not because we have to, but because we want to. Just like how when you're looking into the eyes of the person that you love, you give undivided attention not because you have to, but because you want to. Because you show and signal to that person and to yourself that there's nothing else in the world that is more important than you. And in this era, in this world that we live in today, it's so difficult because so many things cry out for our attention. And there are times that no matter how busy we are, there are times when despite how noisy the world around us is, that we just need to be like Mary and block out everything else and just sit at the feet of Jesus and just hear His voice. Just listen to His teaching. Just cherish the communion that you're experiencing with God. And as conference approaches, just like Mary, we need to make certain choices in our life to give God our undivided attention. You could fast and pray as conference approaches, fasting from a meal or fasting from things that take away your attention. You could pray and prepare your heart spiritually to receive from the conference. You can do your conference devotions every day, Monday to Friday, on both weeks, starting this week and then next week also, to prepare your heart for the conference, let God's word sink in beforehand. And inside the conference devotions, there are also worship songs that you can play to just align your heart as you worship God together. And we can also make plans in advance to free ourselves up from obligations during the time slots. Don't arrange things that are happening during the conference sessions. In fact, if there are things that you need to attend to, try to shift them around to before or after or another day. And on that day, when we're at a conference, just be disciplined. Avoid multitasking. I mean, a lot of times today, we're so capable of multitasking because this world demands that of us, that sometimes it becomes so much of our second nature that an ability to multitask becomes an inability to focus. It becomes a disability to focus. That some of us, even when we have nothing else that requires our attention, right? We cannot help but open a certain app. We cannot help but scroll. We cannot help but open another window. We just cannot because we have a disability now, an inability to give undivided attention. I want to challenge us to make the conference environment the most conducive that you can so that you can sit at the feet of Jesus and fellowship with Him and listen to His word and receive from Him. But as I say that, some of you may be thinking of the very practical challenges that you might be going through. Perhaps you're young and you don't own a house by yourself or you stay with your parents or there are other people in your house and you're not able to have that safe, private space to worship. Perhaps you have kids in your house and these kids need attention. Sometimes they demand attention. And perhaps in your domestic environment, there are challenges that you know, beyond just the normal challenges. Maybe there are fights, maybe there are quarrels, maybe there's drunkenness, and things like that that you have to deal with. And I want to let you know this. And I just sense God giving us this assurance as a leadership team. That even if when you're at home and you're trying to worship from home and you're trying to join the conference, you're trying to give your best, and you're only able to receive 70% of what's going on, or even 50% of what's going on, or even as you're trying to listen and then your kid is climbing all over you and your phone is buzzing and there's all these different things and you need to prepare the meals and you need to do all these things, and you're only able to listen to maybe 20% or 30% of the sermon and engage in 20% or 30% of the worship, even then, we can still have a Mary's heart in a Martha's world. That even if you can only tune in for that 20-30%, you give God that undivided attention for that 20-30%. Don't, because you're not able to receive from most of it like others, you just give up and say, okay, this conference is for other people who have their own room. They can plug into their earphone. They can block out the rest of the world and they can be the Marys. Unfortunately for my situation, I'm just the Martha. I'm just trying to do everything. But no, even in a Martha's world, you can have a Mary's heart. And even if you're only able to catch that glimpse of that sermon or that piece, that part of that worship, if you give God that undivided focus and attention, even for that short segment, I believe that God will honor your heart and you can receive as well. That God can drop prophetic words into your life. God can speak to you. God can draw you close to Him even in that short window. But don't, because of your situation at home and you're not able to receive 100%, you give up and you just pull the plug. Here's what the affirmation that God, that Jesus gave to Mary. Few things are needed, indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better and it will not be taken from her. And I want to encourage you for the conference, and not just for the conference, but in your life, make room for God. Make room in your life to give Him undivided attention. It could be your morning quiet time or your evening quiet time. It could be times when you set aside for service or for life group. It could be something in your life that your life is just so crowded out and you want to make room for God. And in that time, it's not just going through the religious motion. It is giving Him undivided attention, sitting at His feet, receiving from Him. And I just want to give you one final encouragement before we close today's message, and that's this. Many times when we come before God, we may have certain requests, certain needs in our life, certain things that we need a solution, we need a miracle, we need intervention, we need a prophetic word, we need some direction. And many times we give God our undivided attention because we want something. There's a health issue. There's a job issue. There's a studies issue. There's a family issue. There's a relational issue going on. And many times we come before God and we say, God, I want an answer. I want a prophetic word. I want an encounter. I need a change in my life. But can I just tell you this, my friend? We make room for God for these things, yes. But we also make room for God because we love Him. Because we love His presence. Because we just want to fellowship and commune with Him. That God is not just a giver of solutions and a provider of good things. God is also your Lord, your Father, and He loves you. And sometimes when we make room for God, when we just push away everything that distracts us, it is just to sit at His feet, no agenda, just spending time with intimacy, with the Lord that loves us, with the Lord who died for us. And I want to encourage you for the conference as well, but for your life. And if you find that in this period of your life, so much noise, there's so much busyness, and you are living a Martha kind of lifestyle where you're so distracted by all these things that God doesn't have your attention, I want to challenge you. I want to invite you to right now, as we prepare for conference, let this be a new start, a kickstart to your relationship with God, where you make room for Him. Let this conference and the preparation for this conference be a kickstart in your life for something better. A world where there is room for God. And we're going to begin right now. We're going to begin right now. I want to invite you right now, wherever you are, to just stand to your feet. And just don't give yourself excuses that, oh, I just prefer to sit down. Don't give yourself reasons why you can't stand up. Unless you really cannot, just stand up off your feet. Just get up and just begin praying right now. I want you for the next 5 minutes to just try your very, very best to just not multitask, not attend to any notifications, not to attend to anything, but just give God your 100% attention right now, wherever you are, in your living room, in your bedroom, wherever you're watching this right now, with your family, or you're watching this alone, right now, just put aside everything and have a Mary's heart and say, God, I just want to sit at your feet and I want to make way for you. I want to make room for you. I want to block aside all distractions and just have you right now in my life. And if you're ready right now, you're on your feet, I just want you to begin praying in the Holy Spirit right now. Shikiriya karaba 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 karaba. Shikiriya da 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 karaba 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 shikiriya. As you're praying right now, I'm declaring in that room, in that bedroom, in that living room, that the Holy Spirit's presence fall upon you. You're going to experience and encounter Him in a tangible way. That's not going to be the same as what you experienced before, but the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart. And this will be a prelude to what will happen in conference. Yes, you're experiencing and encountering the presence of God right now. That your faith increase, that your expectation increase, that your anticipation for what God will do in the conference will increase, because you know that God can transcend all boundaries and you can encounter Him right there where you are. Let's make room for God right now. Hallelujah.
All it takes is one moment and just one touch from you.
We lay aside all distractions.
I put aside all distractions. I came for you. I came for you. I need you more than ever. Nothing else satisfies. All my life I surrender. I'll live for you. I'll live for you. Yes, I came for you. I came for you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come and move upon this place. We desire an encounter once again. We cry out, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Now that my heart is open,
we're ready.
I am ready for you.
Come, take me deeper.
Jesus, take me deeper. Yes, I came for you.
Let's put aside all distractions and make way and make room for Him.
We make way. We make room.
Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Lord, let Your Spirit move.
Come, Holy Spirit, have Your way. Put aside all your distractions. I just want you to lift your hands right now, wherever you are. Just lift up both your hands as a sign of surrender. And I'm going to pray for you right now, for the Holy Spirit to fall upon you. Set aside every distraction. Just give God your undivided attention. Right now, I'm going to pray for you. And it's going to kickstart your spiritual life. It's going to kickstart you making room for God in your life. And when you know how sweet the presence of God is, how much He loves you, He deserves a place in your life, the highest place. And right now, we need to recalibrate. Some of us, we've been so busy with our lives, with things that we think are important, and we've crowded Him out in our life. But today, we're making room. Today, we're repenting of our busyness and our distractions. And we say, God, have Your way right now in my life. As you surrender the things that are keeping you busy, the things that are occupying your thoughts and your minds right now, I'm going to pray for you right now. And just open your mouth right now and just release that heavenly tongue right now. Come, Holy Spirit, fall upon us. Just begin praying, opening up your mouth right now. Some of you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. Just open your mouth, speak up by faith, and the Lord will give you a new heavenly tongue, a new language right now. Just open up your mouth by faith and just begin praying and praising God. Lift up both your hands and just begin praising God. You're worthy, worthy of all our praises, our worship, our adoration. Holy Spirit, fall upon us. Fall upon us, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray for my brother, my sister right now, that the worries of this world, that the anxieties that have been distracting them have no longer have a hold over their heart, because they trust You with their lives. They're able to let down these worries, these anxieties, because You care for them. Right now, I just pray for my brother, my sister, whatever they're going through right now, and Some of them may be going through really tough times, but Lord, You are even greater than these problems, these challenges. And Lord, I pray that as they surrender their lives to You, a peace of God that transcends all understanding will begin coming upon their heart, that they know that You are with them, and they will always, always make room for You in their lives. That nothing is more important than to follow You wholeheartedly. And even if things don't go our way, when we walk with You, we know we have an assurance. And I just declare over my brothers and sisters' life, as they surrender these areas of worry and concern over their life, that You will come through for them, oh God. That You will come through for them, oh God. That they will recognize that their priority in their life is not to fix problems on their own, but to surrender and to make room to walk with You and follow after You. Thank You, God. In Jesus' name, we pray and commit all our brothers and sisters into Your hands, in Jesus' name. I just want to pray for another group of people. As we were unpacking the story of Martha, that you find yourself a lot in the same situation. That you're not just busy, that you're not just serving, you're not just doing things, but you're distracted. And this distraction has caused you to begin doubting God's love for you, because you feel that God doesn't care for you. You're just working very, very hard for Him to no end. You don't know what's amounting to, and others aren't working that hard, and you're getting jealous, and you're comparing, and you're complaining, and you're doubting God's love for you. Just like Martha. And I want to let you know, my friend, that God doesn't condemn you. That Jesus doesn't rebuke you with a harsh word. But He calls you by name. And He calls you twice by name, with gentleness, with endearment, with affection. He knows you by name, and He calls you, and He says, you have been worried and busy with many things, but only one thing is necessary. Come back to who it is that you're serving. Come back to your relationship with God. Come back to the Lord, that whose name you profess, but your heart has drifted away from. Right now, just come back. God is not condemning you. God is not scolding you. He's not rebuking you harshly. He's giving you a gentle but firm reminder. Come back. Stop that comparison. Stop that self-focus. Stop that complaining. Come back. And if this is you right now, I want to pray for you. Just lift up your hand right now. Behind the screen, you lift up your hand. I'm going to pray for you right now. I pray, oh God, for my brother, my sister, whose hand is raised, whose heart is open right now. You draw them back to You. Remind them the reason why they're serving. Remind them of whom it is that they're serving. That their service will not be one that is dreadful, that is burdensome, but their service will be out of joy, out of abundance, out of the overflow of what You have already poured into their life. And if they've forgotten, gently right now, Holy Spirit, nudge them back. Help them realign, to recalibrate their service towards the One whom is worthy of our service. Thank You, God. In Jesus' name, amen. And right now, I just want to speak to a group of you that you're watching this and you don't know God in your life. You don't have a personal relationship with God. You're not a Christian. And I want to invite you to make room for God by allowing Him to begin to lead your life. You may be leading your own life all these years, or maybe somebody else in your life has given you instructions and has been leading your life. But right now, I want to let you know that the One who loves you the most, He died for you. Jesus loves you, and He wants to lead your life. And the way that you can make room for God is to invite Jesus into your life personally as your Lord, as your Savior, as the forgiver of your sins, and the new leader of your life. And it might sound like a very big thing, a very scary everything, but I want to let you know that step by step, Jesus will lead you. Step by step, He will uncover how much He loves you. And as you experience His love more, you begin walking more with Him. As you walk more with Him, you begin to experience His love more. And that's how it goes. And it begins with this first step, to invite Jesus into your life. I'm going to help you with that by leading you to pray this prayer. And all you need to do is say the words with your mouth and mean it as much as you can in your heart. And the significance of this prayer is about receiving Jesus into our life personally as our Savior and as our Lord. Are you ready to pray this together with me? So as I pray, you pray the words out loud with me and mean it as sincerely in your heart. Pray with me, say, Dear Jesus. One more time, say, Dear Jesus. I confess that I'm a sinner. And I want to thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. Right now, I invite You to come into my life. Be my Lord, be my Savior. Help me to become the kind of person I was created to be. I pray all this in Jesus' name. And everybody say, Amen.